They come into the week a game and a half back of the NL East, but honestly could be a lot worse after the 3 weeks that they had. Still have a game and a half lead over the Brewers for the first wild card spot and 3.5 games of cushion of the playoff spots in general. So, you know, after a productive week, you know, what's the vibe check for you? How are you feeling about things? Do you think the Mets are back, or are there still some things that are concerning you?
Well, it's all about the pitching, right? Yes, they've scored a lot of runs in this homestand, but you know, you said it, this 4.67 ERA is not playable, you know, over a long period of time, but it is better than it was for the 2 weeks prior. So I look at it as progress, and yes, I mean, I know the Yankees have struggled, but it's still a good team. I think they beat a good pitcher in Carlos Rodon, or an improved pitcher in Carlos Rodon yesterday. I think Sunday's game was going to be difficult no matter what, considering they were coming in not really knowing who was going to pitch the second inning, let alone the first. And the Yankees had Max Fried, and they were competitive in the game. But, you know, it was an uphill battle, you know, when they woke up this morning. So not terribly upset about that. They need to get healthy in their rotation, and I think they're getting healthier this week, hopefully anyway. They get Kodai Senga back, and perhaps a little later, Sean Manaea. You know, it's progress, right? But there are still a lot of problems here, and I don't think a 4-2 record necessarily masks those problems. I think we all know they need some starting pitching. There's some rumors out there about them looking at Mitch Keller and a reunion with Luis Severino, who has stated his displeasure for pitching in West Sacramento. Not that that was entirely unpredictable. I mean, I wouldn't want to pitch in 110-degree heat and 0% humidity all the time.
In a minor league ballpark.
Right, in a minor league ballpark. I wouldn't necessarily want that. So I do think they're going to address those problems. But, you know, I said this week, you know, they're in survival mode. And, you know, they survived. Like, 4-2 is surviving it, right? You're treading water. And, you know, like you said, they're a game and a half out of first. They're a game and a half up for the top wild card. You know, if they can get to the All-Star break intact like this and maybe a little bit better, be hard to be upset about that. The schedule's getting a little softer this week, at least on paper. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're not pitching well, you know, the playing field tends to level a little bit. So we'll see how it goes. What are they? They have Baltimore and the Royals, I believe.
Yeah, we'll preview the week ahead a little bit later, but six games left, all on the road, I believe, against the Orioles and the Royals. So opportunity for sure to kind of get things, you know, get through the rest of this tough stretch before the reinforcements come. You know, like you said, it's progress, right? They were 3-14 before that over a 17-game stretch. Honestly, one of the biggest spirals we have seen from this team in quite a while. This is the team that has a bit of a knack for spiraling. But
doesn't matter how good they are.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time it got that bad over that long of a stretch of time. Even 2022, they had a winning record in that September. They just got chased down in a pretty epic way. So it's kind of even hard to compare it there. It's honestly probably going back to those like 07, 08 teams. And luckily for this team, this happened in June, where you have the opportunity to bounce back from that. Whereas
May of 2024 was pretty rough. You know, that was bad. But then they snapped their fingers and they put the whole thing together, which was, you know, why it's so easy to forget that. But last May was, I mean, remember where they were, you know, May 30th. You know, so they're 11 games under. So not exactly 11 games under now. They survived it, right? They fell to, what, 10 or 11 games over in the midst of all this? So, I mean, if they manage to get to the playoffs and, you know, they modify the team in the process, you know, you won't look back at it as being so bad in the end, you know?
And, you know, it's good to see that arrow heading in the right direction. You know, even this weekend you had a 3-game series against the Yankees who, yeah, were struggling, but even during this rough stretch for them, they're still scoring over 5 runs a game. So that offense is not struggling at all. It's really just been their pitching. And the Mets came into the series with Justin Hageman, Frankie Montas, and TBD, who wound up being Chris Davinsky, pitching the three games. And they won two out of three, and they could have won the game on Sunday. That was a two-run game in the seventh inning before Juan Soto hit into a kind of insane bad luck double play. The team also hit into a really weird luck double play in the next inning, and then you had some weird umpire calls in the ninth. So that game was right there, and they really had no business being in that Sunday game. It was annoying, but you kind of came into it being happy, and I think the team came in being happy that, like, hey, we got our series win. We have the day off on Monday. Let's just, like, get through this as healthy as we possibly can, and if the offense allows us a chance to win the game, cool, but we're not going to, you know, break the bullpen trying to do it.
Yeah, I think the Mets did a little bit better on the health front than the Yankees did, that's for sure. So, you know, they lost Clark Schmidt to Tommy John. Of course, coming into this, they lost Daniel Nunez to potentially Tommy John. So, I guess, you know, it's your weekly Tommy John with the Mets.
Tommy John check.
Tommy John, I got it. It's right there.
Yeah, there you go. You know, coming off of this week, which has been a really good one, we're going to have this weekly segment that we do in all of our episodes called the Mets Player of the Week. This is the player who either positively or negatively you think was the number one storyline of the past week. I think had we done this a couple weeks ago, it would have been a lot of picking guys for the negative. I think there's a lot of good positive choices for this week. Absolutely. So, Mike, who is your choice as the Mets Player of the Week?
It's got to be Brandon Nimmo. I mean, he's probably going to win Player of the Week in the National League. I mean, you had two grand slams, nine RBI. You know, I mean, you know, Pete Alonso had a great week, but, you know, Brandon Nimmo, with all due respect, had probably the best week in the league. So, you know, my nod goes to him.
Yeah, it's tough to argue with a guy that hits three home runs and two grand slams over six games. Nimmo also, I believe, the first Met to hit three grand slams in a season since Carlos Beltran did it in the late 2000s, and we're only in July, so there's going to be opportunities potentially for Nimmo to hit some more of those. Yeah, I think that's the obvious choice. I think a lot of guys are in the conversation for sure. I would, you know, just because you went with Nimmo, I'll probably have to go with Juan Soto. He hit 333. Not like a huge crazy week, but, you know, we hit 333, hit a homer, a double, drove in four runs, walked four times, scored four runs, even stole a base. I thought that home run that he hit against the Yankees on Friday night to immediately tie the game up was honestly one of their biggest hits of the weekend, even though it came in the first inning, because
absolutely, you know, think, set the tone for the weekend. That's for
sure. Think about where we were at that point. You know, you got Hageman making his first career start. You know it's probably not going to go super well.
You put a couple balls on a tee in the first inning too.
Yeah, the first two hitters of the game hit home runs, and I think I tweeted through the Just Mets account, you know, maybe go outside today. It was July 4th too, so it's just like, maybe let's not do this. And it, you know, it looked like it was going to be a really long weekend, similar to the first Subway Series where the Mets didn't play particularly well. So for Soto to come in and immediately tie the game, I think, was just like such a key answer for this team. And it kind of, like you said, set the tone where they came back and they countered every punch that the Yankees punched in that game. And eventually they won it with the McNeil homer. Saturday was a bit more of a domination, even though the pitching kept letting the Yankees come back in. Every time they did that, the Mets answered again. And then, you know, Sunday was whatever it was. But yeah, definitely, I think, as key a first inning home run as you could have in the regular season. And it was just good to see him have a good weekend against the Yankees after all the, like, weird narratives and PR bullshit that happened in the first Subway Series and the silly booing and turning of the backs on him. It was nice to see him get the Yankees back a little bit. And I personally enjoyed listening to Michael Kay having to call his home run against the Yankees. That was pretty satisfying.
Thanks for listening to this free preview of the Just Mets podcast. If you liked what you heard and want access to full weekly episodes and additional bonus content, you can become a supporter of Just Mets on patreon.com/justmets or on justmets.net.